Hi, John.
Hey, Alex.
Do you know what I hate?
What's that?
Tokyo Drift.
Yes.
Hey, John.
Hey, Alex.
Do you know what I like?
What's that?
Fast Five.
Yes.
Combo episode.
Audience at home, we kind of did a bit of an audible here. And I think especially coming after last episode's, neither of us particularly enjoyed the movie, and the episode before where neither of us particularly enjoyed the movie, and then we were watching Tokyo Drift and neither of us particularly enjoyed the movie, but not in a strident, oh my God, let's dunk on it way, John and I decided we're also going to watch Furious 5 because...
Fast 5, sorry.
There is a debate in the Fury immunity...
Mm-hmm.
The family. What am I, an idiot? In the Fast family, that the movie to watch to get people into the Fast and the Furious universe, the FFU, is Tokyo Drift or Fast Five. Mm-hmm. These seem to be the only two answers.
Mm-hmm.
Except for people with a lot more time on their hands and like more cars that say watch it from the first movie forward, which I never would have made it past the second one.
Yeah.
Because I saw the first one years ago and it's like, oh, it's fine. It's...
Yeah.
Muscly guys driving cars.
We saw Gone in 60 Seconds.
Yeah, good. Yeah, I've seen this exact movie a million times. So John and I watched Tokyo Drift, as we told you last episode. Oof.
That thing is a pile.
Yeah, it is a pile in the English terminology that it is a hemorrhoid.
Yeah.
Like, I felt uncomfortable sitting through it. It is dog shit.
Yeah.
Not to just give away everything up front, but Fast Five is delightful.
Absolutely.
How the fuck, and you referenced before we started that you may have a theory on this, because I have a theory as well, and I don't want to believe our audience is this stupid. So I'll give my theory secondly. How the fuck do people think Tokyo Drift should be the one you start watching from?
Well, my theory is less about Tokyo Drift specifically than about the Fast Furious universe as a whole, because this whole series... is a reverse Simpsons, where in the later ones, it's awesome, but the earlier ones are garbage. The Simpsons going on, you're like, well, this is awful. Why is this still on? Because of all this love in the first one. Whereas I think it's almost reversed, because when I was watching Fast Five and Han shows up, having died in Tokyo Drift, but I guess because chronologically they're whatever. Han showed up and I liked Han a lot in Fast Five, who I didn't really care about in Tokyo Drift. And then I was like, maybe I should watch Tokyo Drift again. I really like this Han guy. So what I think is this is the first case of cinematic toxoplasmosis. I just think there's something inherent in the later movies that gets in your brain. It's like, no, this is actually really good. Like, the whole thing's great. You love all these characters.
Yeah.
Let's spend more time with them.
Yeah. Toxoplasma Gondi Diesel.
Yeah.
I like your theory a lot. I have an alternate theory, and I don't want to think our audience is this stupid. And if you are, you know, that's fine. I think some people think it would be confusing to enter into the later movies because you already know the characters from the earlier ones. And since Tokyo Drift exists outside the continuum of the other films, that's the way to get into it. Because you get all the cars and the cool stuff, but you're not weighed down by all the mythology.
Right.
Because I heard a couple comments, not our audience. I was trying to figure out the Tokyo Drift conundrum of why so many people recommended it. There's this whiff of, well, it would be, you know, confusing to enter into it, you know, at part five because you don't know the characters.
Mm.
It's like, I think I got caught up pretty quickly.
Fast Five does a really good job of introducing you to who they are in as much as... this is all you need to know about these people. Like, sure, maybe I might be interested in seeing the further adventures of Ludacris. But for now, like, for the purposes of Fast Five, yeah, I got it. I know what they all do. And
yeah, and I don't know how many of these people were in previous movies. So all of the gang they put together in Fast Five, as far as you know, are they all previous existing people from the franchise?
Well, so now I've seen 1, 3, and 4.
Okay.
And I could barely tell you anything about 4, but I know that's where Gal Gadot, I believe, shows up.
Yeah.
His sister, I think, is around from the first one.
No, his sister. Okay, so I can tell you, the first one I've seen, his sister and Paul Walker are the two mains in that, and Vin Diesel is essentially the villain.
Right.
Yeah, all right. So all of them are reintroducing, and the fact is I don't care that I don't know them. They're delightful.
It's fine,
I got
yeah.
them in 4 seconds.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess we should talk about Tokyo Drift for a little while and then just go back to the fun movie. But Tokyo Drift, here's what I think about Tokyo Drift. Well, these movies are what I want to believe they started off are meta commentaries on kind of toxic masculinity. Mm-hmm. Like, because at least judging from the first one, it's meant to be kind of, I don't want to say tongue-in-cheek, but it's supposed to be like, yeah, tongue-in-cheek. I think that's the best way to put it. It's like, we're not making fun of these people, but we're kind of over-amping it and making it stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's kind of fun. In a kind of die-hard, like, amp that style of movie up where, I mean, maybe not the first one, but you get the idea of this kind of like, heightened to the point of stupid kind of thing.
Right.
But, like, they know it, so that's why it's fun. So it's like, you know, this weird meta-narrative. Tokyo Drift is just the shitty, terrible way to view the universe. Like, there's a running thing in Tokyo Drift of being gaijin, being outsider.
Mm-hmm.
We meet the black guy that wears a do-rag and sells stolen Jordans.
Yeah.
Thanks, yeah. Movie. This is subtlety with a capital B. And it's not, they're not making a comment about that because it's in Tokyo. There's not a big, like, no, I'm not saying I know anything about the racial, you know, overtones in Tokyo. But in this movie, at no point does that guy being black have anything to do with anything. So why have him be stereotype? Like, he might as well, my fucking God. I almost said he might as well be wearing a big fucking clock around his neck.
Yeah.
And that actually happened in the movie. I totally forgot that.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Well, yeah, what's interesting about Tokyo Drift is that it's the movie Airborne. Except much less interesting. It's kind of a fish out of water narrative that immediately goes away because that doesn't really matter. It's not a white savior thing where like he comes to Japan and shows them how the racing really goes down.
I think this movie is even, I think you actually gave the movie too much credit to say it wasn't a white savior
all
thing because right. It is the white guy beats the best Asian guy at the sport they invented.
Right. But I mean but because it's not really a fish out of water thing, it doesn't matter. Like,
yeah, no, sure.
They could be anywhere.
Yeah.
Why are they high schoolers? First of all, the guy looks 30.
Yeah, he does. He looks high school, like 90210, the original series did. Yeah.
But I also can believe he was held back that long.
Mm.
Cause this guy, I don't get it. Like, I don't get the love for this movie because no one is enjoyable in this movie. Han is the only one that's halfway decent.
I think Han's good. I think the Aussie girl wasn't terrible. She was given nothing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for what she was given, she was fine. Like,
yeah.
It's more the movie's fault than her performance. But that lead kid is charismaless. Oh, let me take it back. Eldest brother from Home Improvement, which, by the way, so fucking excited to see him and getting some
work.
Yeah. He's great as a rich douchebag.
Right.
Here's what I wish about this movie. One, we didn't watch it. But two, mm-hmm. since we did, live in Alabama and just deal with him as the lead villain because he's got a Billy Zabka just punchable face.
Oh, absolutely.
He's so great. Or just don't have him be in America at all and just start it in Tokyo because, boy, that wasted a lot of time.
Yeah.
Indeed. Like, you have to establish the guy that likes driving cars, got kicked out of school for driving cars. We could do that in a narrative over the plane flight.
Mm-hmm.
This is, we're fine.
Yeah. Because he's going about his school day. And, you know, doing the things you do in school, like watching a fat kid get painted by some bullies.
Also, what a great way to introduce us to our, in quotes, hero. He thinks about beating the guys over the head with a wrench and then decides not to.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Now, also, I liked it because now that we watched Fast Five, I guess that was a callback to Dom.
Yeah.
Because Dom got kicked out of school for beating someone's head in with a wrench.
Which I like that.
Or went to jail or something.
Yeah, which I like that was when The Rock is like giving the lowdown of all things they've been up to. It's like all these horrible things like, and then you hit a guy.
Let's not even talk too much about that because I don't want to despoil Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Until we're done talking about Tokyo Drift, which I want to give 17 minutes and then just talk about because please.
Well, I was just gonna say that opening race he has some standoff like my car is cooler than your car thing with the kid from Home Improvement.
Here's the other in that race. I'm glad you brought it up because I was gonna completely forget about it. That girl that goes, mm-hmm. "Why don't you race for me?"
Yeah,
that she's chattel.
Yeah.
It is. Gross.
Well, everyone is in that movie. Like, if you are a woman in that movie, you're not worth anything, even though that she's like, she's the queen of drifting or whatever. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
This movie is gross.
Yeah, it's very mid-90s. Like, it's very, the 90s didn't stop till like the mid-2000s. And so this is very much that kind of...
No, but this is, I mean, I don't disagree with your point, but I just want to push it back about a decade. This is like Revenge of the Nerds, where he rapes that girl while in the Darth Vader mask.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, like that shit's been going on for a while. I mean, like, so much of that, like, hateful shit in the late 2000s, or the late 90s, and 2000s.
I realized it carried out that long, but, like, yeah. It was just the, why don't you win me? And the, oh, so great. And then the...
I think regardless of whether or not Home Improvement Kid won that fight, he needs to seriously examine his relationship, because I don't think it's based on anything good.
I wouldn't want to go that far, because like I really feel like they were bonding over like tennis and mayonnaise and having rich parents and keeping the black man down and, you know, just white stuff.
Yeah.
The thing that made me realize this movie is going to suck, because the opening thing through the first race isn't terrible for this is going to be a big dumb race movie, because it's like that's a pretty spectacular race through the building development they're putting up.
Yeah,
and it's like, well, if this is happening so early in the movie, the stakes are going to keep getting raised. So like, cool, okay, this is hopeful until the end of the race. They're sitting in the police station, and he gives the bloody smile to the girl because he just won, but he doesn't care about trying to fuck her because he just won, and that moment of seeing those teeth and such, because I can't even, I don't bring up teeth a lot of the show, but his teeth, no, but no. The complete lack of charisma in the way that he did it just made me realize how deep of a hole we're in. Because imagine, and obviously this is age inappropriate, but imagine Footloose.
Mm-hmm.
No, not Footloose, sorry. Okay. What's the one where he's the bouncer?
Well, Kevin Bacon's a bouncer?
Or maybe not Kevin
Roadhouse?
Bacon.
Roadhouse?
Roadhouse. That's Patrick Swayze. I get them too confused.
What?
They're tiny white guys that do roundhouse kicks and dance. It's very easy to get.
When has Kevin Bacon ever done a roundhouse kick?
Footloose. Doesn't he do like a whole like spinning thing? I mean, I guess he's not doing a kick, but he's
okay, that's a different thing.
Okay, fair enough. He stands on a toe and spins. Yep. Apologies. But it reminds me of like Roadhouse, where after he gets his ass kicked and he's like he's bonding, he's hitting on the chick while she's getting stitches, and he's just oozing charisma and watchability, even though he's bloodied. This is the complete opposite. This is fucking gross and dumb, and you're a hillbilly. Ugh.
Yeah.
And it just, and we're what, 10 minutes in?
Yeah.
And I've already lost hope. And it's just like, so I watched, I think, 8 minutes more. I went, and I don't do this with our movies, where I make it a point of watching the whole thing one sitting, because one, I don't want to go back to them most of the time.
Yeah.
And two, I feel like I could have a more positive view of them if I watch them as they're intended and just, you know, power through for the most part. But this one beat me like really early.
Yeah.
Like I think I got him on a plane to Japan, which was the first 15 or so. I take a break. I take a walk. I'm like, I can't, I can't fucking do this. Which, by the way, audience, I let my fucking rental lapse, so I had to pay for this fucking thing twice.
Makes
and
me
by
so
the way,
happy.
I paid for Fast 5 once. I'd happily pay for.
Oh,
it
I totally
again.
Pay for that again. Yeah, yeah. It's like halfway through. I have a note. Halfway through my notes here. That's just like, what am I supposed to like about this guy? There's nothing, because you know, obviously the like, I'm a bad boy that doesn't play by your rules. Character is nothing new, but. There's nothing to this guy. The most they do is later when he's having sushi with the love interest. He basically, like, since they haven't bothered to show you anything, he explains his character to her. And they're like, well, I'm always acting out because I just missed my dad, you know. Yeah, they just, yeah, we should probably do something with this character, make him seem like he's a person.
that scene actually made me laugh out loud.
Well, what's interesting is to make you feel better about it, I guess, is you can see between the two movies how Justin Lin has grown as a filmmaker, because there's some like neat flashy stuff when he's driving through the housing development thing or whatever, and the camera like pans back through the hole in the softball hole in the back of his window.
Yeah,
like that was some neat like super flashy stuff, and there's some stuff like that later where I think it eventually in Fast Five is much more of an overall like less showy. But more just like stylized, if that makes any sense.
No,
like,
it absolutely
there's less
does.
These specific like wowie moments, and more just like let's just keep the pace of everything up and have fun.
Yeah.
Because one thing that totally killed me, and this is just idiotic. Maybe that's why people like this movie. When they have the first race, first showdown in the parking garage.
The first against Drift King versus Alabama Shepard. Yeah.
When they're doing the race, it's the race intercut with people getting onto an elevator to get to the next floor to watch the race.
Yeah.
Take the stairs. How much more exciting is it to watch people clamber up the stairs than to just be like, okay, well, let's just get in this elevator and we'll just stand here and wait. And there's a chance for Lil Bow Wow to wink at the audience while he gets into a...
Okay, now I almost forgive that kid a little bit more because honestly, I sort of liked him, even though his character is garbage.
No,
he's
great.
He's got a bit of charisma to him. And
if
now
he was the main character, this one would have been way better.
Yeah, like he's got something. There's something like if he was, I mean, obviously I'm not a talent scout or whatever, and he's a very famous person, but like there's something to him that's like, oh yeah, he's watchable. Like there's, and the lead character in this is not watchable. But
Here's the problem while we're on that race real quick, is that so this becomes like the whole point of the movie is him learning how to drift, and he basically does early on. Like he needs to get better at it, and he kind of learns to do it.
Yeah,
that's not that interesting. I'm basically watching a guy do yo-yo tricks for 90 minutes. Yeah. Like some of the stuff was cool, like when you see the car doing a turn and you it does the super close-up of the wall and the bumper just narrowly misses
the
wall.
No, that looked cool.
That's neat, but like, boy, that can't sustain me for an hour and a half.
Well, this movie is visually, the direction is really nice.
It's very bright and shiny and
and the action sequences are nice. And again, it's not something that I like to really hang on because I tend to side with actors a lot, especially in a lot of the movies we watch. Like, sometimes the movie's not salvageable. I think this could have been a fun movie if they casted somebody with any kind of charisma.
It would have been better, for sure, yeah.
Because I think a lot of this movie dies because it's hard to give a shit about him.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's so many... It's one of those things because you don't care about him. The definite flaws show up. Like I said, like, him being in high school doesn't matter. His relationship with his dad doesn't matter. None of this stuff like means anything because it's just a vehicle to get to this like this race thing. It's like, well, you got to have a reason for him to be over there. He can't just be a mechanic that's over there. He's got to be a kid.
He's in Japan. He doesn't have money or whatever. So he's going to go on the Tokyo subway and he's going to get pushed into the, you know, that's like the big, that's like the thing you hear about.
Yeah.
He's a car guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying he has money to get a car, but maybe actually show him getting shoved into the subway or show him trying to get a car. They didn't do either.
Mm.
So what they did was go, hey, here's some neat shots of Japan while he gets to school that you don't get to see.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying this is a big complaint. It's just, it's clunky.
Well, the whole school thing didn't matter.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's part of the clunkiness of, because it also doesn't, I would wipe that away if school was an intrinsic value of this, but it's like, no, we just needed to kill 10 minutes.
Yeah, we just need him to meet these characters and that was it.
You know, John and I were talking about before the show, I have a weird quirk where I don't like recording without shoes on. What I need is Wabaki.
Oh my God.
Wabaki.
Yeah.
Wabaki. Sean Wabaki. Now, there's a whole crowd of people in that room that could just translate for that lady.
Yeah.
Two, that lady is teaching at a school in Japan where most people speak English. Stop yelling at him in Japanese.
Yeah, there's... Yeah.
Three, why is he at a school that is being taught in Japanese? He doesn't speak Japanese.
Well, there was the whole school thing, like when he wakes up in the morning and there's the note that's like, school's at 7, get on that train.
Yeah.
I feel like that could have been the night before. You could have said something. So immediately I'm like, well, that's weird that they did that. And then he said the school and they're just yelling at him in Japanese. Did no one think this through?
It's just, again, this stuff I could wipe away if school had anything to do with this fucking movie. And it does not. Also, but here's a fun thing that made me like this movie slightly more and has nothing to do with the movie. His dad reminded me a lot of Philip J. Fry's dad. And that just made me happy.
Yeah.
So I just go like...
Fighting commies.
Like, yeah, that's like Fry's dad. I'll just pretend that's what's happening.
Yeah, there's plenty of movies I like that I know are terrible. But they're fun, and this does not even fall into that.
Mm.
Like, there's nothing... The only thing... The racing isn't bad. I'll say that. But
there's some cool racing spots, yeah.
But when... Particularly compared to something like Fast Five and what it seems like the latter movies are, I don't care that much about racing. And I'm not going to fault a racing movie for having racing in it, but it's just... That's totally not my scene. And so when you... For the later Fast movies, we're like, yeah, we're going to race, but it's a heist. That's way more interesting.
And also the later ones are not really... So I can't speak for all the later ones. I've seen Fast Five now, and at the bar, I watched the end of one of the other ones with The Rock in it. So 6 or 7 or something. Mm-hmm. The later ones are more, instead of using fists, you fight with your car.
Uh-huh.
And that's more fun for, I think, people like us, if I may speak for you, that we don't care about cars. I mean, I don't hate cars, but like, I don't really care.
Some of the stuff they're talking about cars, like, I don't know, so I don't care. It's like, you might as well just be describing stereo equipment to me for as much as I give
a
shit
like
about
it. Here's how pleased I am. But okay, this is a weird... So I was doing a logo for the Alex Cast because I was doing the Valis Book Club. And so I made a pink light going into my Alex Cast logo. And mm-hmm. I made the pink line go behind my the letters. And I was genuinely pleased, which is the dumbest thing to be pleased by uh-huh. as somebody that's trying to design something. At one point in Tokyo Drift, he said something about that there being an 8, and I went, "Oh, that's 8 cylinders." And I was genuinely pleased that I understood the reference to the number 8 was cylinders in that car thing.
Yeah,
I think so. That's the level I'm operating
at. I think you could probably make an argument. You know, one of those. There was some guy that was doing like this speaking tour in the late 90s or 2000s like that. That was like. In defense of the caveman or something like that. Sure. It was one of those like, yeah. You know, don't forget that you're a man, you're internal. That I think a case could be made for that, where you have this sort of masculinity ingrained in your head that you're like, car stuff, yeah. No, I know what that is now. So I'm a man. Yeah. I know car stuff yeah. now.
It is part of the kind of, masculine training wheels of American culture. Here's some really, just a couple very Alex-y things to enjoy about this movie. One, that parking garage... where the cars moved on a conveyor yes. belt type thing. Awesome. I'm yeah. assuming that's real. If it isn't, I hope it is.
Yeah. I think it's something like that is real.
That's super neat. Yeah. Two, I guess I've known this about myself for a long time, and this is the first time I could ever really articulate it. Thin Japanese kind of Yakuza looking kids with like baggy suits with the white shirt mm-hmm. hanging out will never not be cool to me.
Uh-huh.
It is the coolest look yeah. that any human being can have. If I were 17 and had this realization, I would buy one of those things because I was thin back then. And I have long and dyed black hair at the moment. I could have done it. I could have done it. And I'm like, damn me for not knowing.
This show is going to end with you joining a K-pop band. I'm very excited.
But oh my God, Yakuza suits, so fucking great.
Oh yeah.
And I'm looking at my that's everything until the last car chase. That's all of the positive things I have to say
yeah,
about this movie.
I will say, you know, Sonny Chiba, always nice to see Sonny Chiba.
No, who was Sonny Chiba?
He was the main Yakuza guy.
Okay. I don't recognize Sonny Chiba anymore. I have not seen a Sonny Chiba movie. I haven't seen a movie with Sonny Chiba in it since he was young-faced.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know older-faced Sonny Chiba.
Well, did you see Kill Bill? He's Hattori Hanzo in Kill Bill. He had a very similar face in that.
You know what? I don't think I knew that was Sonny Chiba.
Yeah, but he's
either.
Also wearing a hat in this one, which could throw you off.
No, it's. I think of Sonny Chiba in like.
Like big eyebrows, Street Fighter, that kind of thing.
Yeah, like a badass. Like yeah. I mean, just like kind of just any like a Jackie Chan esque, late 80s or early 90s.
Yeah, they all look the same to you. I get it.
Well, no. I mean, I think they actually literally trained under the same guy. I mean, it's, mm-hmm. if anything...
Oh, they all train under the same guy. That's all right. Well,
yes.
Old trope.
Well, I mean, the truth, you mean? Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. yeah. Yeah. Sammo Hung also did.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, he gets in that big race, as you were talking about, the mm-hmm. first race where we find out that drifting is important. John, do you understand what's the big deal about drifting?
Well, the way I took it was that Tokyo's a compact place. And so you're going to have a lot of tight corners and racing in very tight environs. And so being able to drift, maybe being able to take those corners. You played Mario Kart.
No. Oh no. I got that. I think you're actually doing the movie a favor
yeah.
by answering my question with such gentility and grace. What I mean to say is you're a custom driving car. And I'm holding up my cell phone pretending it's a car to John.
Mm-hmm. Like now, you always
now,
do.
Now that car can go forward, backwards, mm-hmm. left or right.
Okay, following.
Now, in America, there's something called skidding, which is something that we've known about for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, while skidding, there's the quality in your car is brake, go fast more, or some variety thereof.
All right, slow down.
So we're dealing with 4 variables?
Sure, that sounds like a number.
So that's 16, maybe 64 different ways to do it. What I'm saying is, this kid that's an expert at driving, mm-hmm. that knows everything, there's races everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there's turns in America. What the Tokyo Drift that this race aficionado doesn't know how to do
you're presuming
on a
that
fundamental
he,
level?
You're presuming that he does those turns. I mean, like, there's a reference in
you mean
fast-
like in the opening race sequence where he does the turn?
Well, he does a turn, but he doesn't drift. Because like it's different between just like taking a crazy turn versus the elegance of drifting, but it's also
I guess I just don't get the fucking
yeah no because it's dumb
because he's in the opening sequence he's going 100 miles an hour and has to make a left
mm-hmm.
in the climactic thing, he has to go fast and make lefts. Yeah. I don't understand what a Tokyo Drift is.
Well, in Karate Kid, Daniel-san has been kicking, but at the end he kicks. So it's a similar kind of thing, but it's a different kind of kick.
Because a white guy does it better than Asians.
Right, yeah.
Yes, did it, John. Yes,
we made it.
Yeah, okay, good. Wow, white people really did save the world.
Yeah, but I like how, so basically due to poor test screenings of this movie, for obvious reasons.
you said doo-doo.
They went, hey, you know what we should do is we should have Vin Diesel show up. Like, let's try to make this a Fast and Furious. It was an after test screenings. And Vin Diesel said, you know what? I'll do it. But here's the thing. You give me the rights to Riddick. And they did. That's how he was able to make like Chronicles of Riddick, I guess. But yeah, because him being in there is a complete afterthought.
Okay,
movie was never like, oh yeah, Fast and the Furious. They just went, yo, you know what we should do? Make this a Fast and the Furious movie.
So this was a movie called Tokyo Drift or whatever it's called. I mean, it has to be called Tokyo Drift. I mean, they couldn't have reshot that much.
I don't know. This might have been Fast and the Furious Tokyo. They might have been trying to make an anthology series or something.
No, but that's what
I don't know. I don't know enough about the history of it, but I do know just that tidbit that.
Because if this was just a movie and they went, oh, you know, we should just package this into Fast and the Furious when at no point was a part of it. And they said, here's a bucket of money, have Vin Diesel show up. That actually explains the charisma-less lead. Yeah. Like that actually explains, this is just some B movie. And then at the end they went, oh yeah, here, just throw Vin Diesel in. And now it's part of the.
Yeah. Like yeah. I don't know enough to say that that's the case. It certainly feels like that is all I'm saying.
I hope that's,
I know that like, you know, Too Fast, Too Furious wasn't really, no one was that excited about that movie.
Was that the second one?
That was the second one with Tyrese, because Vin Diesel wasn't in that one.
I know that's a stupid question, but they're called some dumb names. Oh, so yeah, Too Fast, Too Furious could be, now there's Hobbs and Shaw, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who Shaw is.
He hasn't shown up yet. Jason Statham, who I guess is the one that killed Han. In the movie, when Han dies in Tokyo Drift, it just seems like, oh, there's actually consequences. Because that's another thing, just aside real quick, you know, you talked about raising the stakes in the beginning. There's no stakes in this movie for most of it. Like, it doesn't. What happens if he doesn't drift good? I don't know. Nothing.
Yeah.
It isn't until the end where, like, he does something to the Yakuza guy.
He's the one that kills Han?
Han, when they're racing in Fast and the Furious, Tokyo Drift, there's a part where a car hits Han. It's like a Mercedes-Benz hits Han. And in Tokyo Drift, it's presented as like, yeah, you're racing in the street. This is an accident that happened.
Oh, I thought that was part of DK's crew.
Well, yeah, could be. But from what I understand, and again, like audience sound off in the comments, there apparently is Jason Statham is responsible for killing Hobbs. Because there are some people that are angry that Jason Statham is joining the family. Because Hobbs or Han, whatever.
Yeah.
Because I just know that about Jason Statham's character that he killed.
No, I got you. No, I guess, fair point, understand what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I guess in the movie, I just assumed it was either random traffic.
Yeah.
Mostly I thought it was DK's gang.
No, I just thought it was random traffic. I thought cause they were just racing in traffic and that they tried to like actually like, oh, things can actually happen to these characters.
Yeah.
Which I didn't. And another interesting thing is that Han is a character from Justin Lin's first movie, Better Luck Tomorrow, about Asian school kids in America that like start with like this like cheating on tests, but then devolve into a life of crime. Same actor, and cast him to play a character named Han in this, and then basically just went, no, it's the same guy.
That's fine.
Which is kind of funny. You're like, no, this movie that I kind of, you know, it was something that he and some other people wrote and directed, and I remember it was a bit of a critical darling. And it's like, yeah, I'm going to put you in a Fast and Furious movie now.
That's awesome.
Which I do, like I was saying before, retroactively like Han a lot more. When I was watching Tokyo Drift, I just did not care. He was suave enough and whatever, but something about him in Fast 5 I liked a lot more.
Yeah, well, I mean, okay, we'll get the Fast. Everything's better in Fast 5. But I thought Han was fine in this.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't bad. I just didn't care.
I actually thought DK was the most intriguing character in this. The, I don't know his other name, but the lead bad guy.
Yeah.
He actually had like a bit of like something to him. It was like, oh, I kind of like watching this guy, which is weird because this movie is just like this wasteland of like, oh, another, like, again, I'm 39. It felt like Melrose Place or 90210 and a lot of it were just like these kind of wooden, like, yeah, you're attractive, but you can't really do anything actors. And then there's Han and DK were like, oh, well, you got a little something. You got a little spark to you. Yeah.
Which I like how when she, I don't remember what she's confronting him about. The love interest confronts Han and is like, you know, this is over. and he's sitting counting money with like a beautiful woman basically sitting on his lap, counting money, and it's like, oh no.
Yeah, I know. He's probably really, really upset. Yeah.
Again, all the women have just transactional relationships in this movie.
What else do we have to talk about with this movie?
The only other thing I want to mention that I loved is the part where his dad says, like, in Japan, they have a saying, and it's exactly a saying that they have in America. That was actually a thing that I'm like, okay, maybe that's why people love this movie, because that's great.
Here's another question that you're not going to be able to answer. There's, like, two or three montages in this. And like classic 80s montage, which I'm a fan of. I like a montage. I fall for it any time. But this one has some good ones. So just a point. But at one point, they're training to do the hill. Han gets in the car with him, shows him a drift. And it's actually kind of a cool bonding thing. It's like, oh, this is neat. I wish this happened in the first third of the movie. Right. And then the rest of the movie was good. At one point, they go, well, they're having this fucking massive race down a hill. DK's the only racer to ever make it to the bottom. What the fuck kind of road is this?
Yeah.
Also, that's the road that the lady said, oh, we used to go up here all the time and practice drifting. So is there just a pile of dead fucking teenagers at the bottom?
Well, I think maybe they just meant that, like, to go that fast and make it to the bottom.
But he said to make it, not to beat the time.
It's maybe they went back the other way. Like,
yeah. I give up. This DK guy, he's the thing. Also, DK, Donkey Kong in Mario Kart.
Right.
He calls him Donkey Kong.
Yeah,
he mentions the movie. Cut that line.
Got him.
Yeah, cut that line. Sorry I said that. Here is a line that it's funny that you brought up that phrase, because here is in my notes, and this is I'm getting punched at this point. I hope this movie goes full white savior and kills DK. Sean takes his spot in the Yakuza, immediately rises to the top, thus proving racial superiority.
Yeah, that's a thing that I loved in this movie, as the N-word, where DK dies, he crashes and dies, and everyone's like, hooray!
Yeah.
You just watched a man die.
Oh, small point on the DK and Yakuza thing. DK, I find that Han steals, which also doesn't feel like in Han's character, which is odd, that Han is a thief from, it seems like he's rich, like it doesn't, I don't know.
Well, I mean, Han's in with the Yakuza, you know he's a bad guy.
No, but stealing from the Yakuza, that just, it doesn't feel like, he seems like he's like a noble thief. That rang weird. But okay, so anyway, we find out that Han is stealing. They really missed a trick to not have DK have to chop his pinky off, which is like a big Yakuza thing. At least as far as I know from movies.
Yeah, I don't know if that's still the thing, if you just do that digitally now.
Yeah, but it's just a heightened, like, it's just, it's weird that, like, they've had these movies where scenes that can so easily be heightened, and there's like, just move.
Yeah, we got to keep it PG-13. I don't know.
Not that we really need to talk about, but that sumo scene was gross.
Yeah.
I don't need to see a naked sumo.
Well, it was more just like that, this guy, like, well, I'm in trouble for racing, and so I got sent here. Hey, I'm in with this Han guy, and I kind of broke your car. Go beat up a guy for money.
Yeah.
Okay, I have no qualms about this.
I don't have a problem with that because he seems like a fucking dullard. So, yeah.
Yeah. I just hate that guy. He shows up in the later ones, by the way. I know he comes back to join the family.
Great. I'm really, really looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
I almost watched the other ones until he said that sentence. Here's a thought for this movie. Someone learned the fucking pit maneuver. Do you know what that is?
No.
I'm going to hold my phone up again. When your car, so this is a cop car, and this is another car. Where's a beer that has nothing in it? Driving on the highway, there's a thing called the pit maneuver. You hit the car in the kind of it, like John Scarborough doing like that. That causes, at highway speed, it causes the first car to do a full spin out. It's cops are trained in it. It's called the pit maneuver.
Yeah.
They are slamming into each other constantly. Why? Again, much like Tokyo Drifting, why does no one know this move that me, as someone that's never driven a car with more than four cylinders, know that? Well, I mean, because I watched Cops when I was a kid. But how did someone learn the fucking, this is so, how do I know more about a car thing? I know so, I literally, if you said the flangiform is connected to the arc filter, I would say, yes, I'll have my mechanic look at it.
Here's the thing.
I don't know cars.
You have not been in the heat of a race, you know. You're not thinking about that stuff. You're just thinking about going fast, furiously.
So he wins by killing Han.
No, he wins by killing DK.
From DK, sorry. I was looking at the word, sorry. I was looking at the word Han on the screen when that happened. And this is my comment here. Oh shit, Han was family. Dom? Is it Dom?
Yeah.
Do I know Dom well enough to care? And apparently I do, because I was really excited to see Dom show up. But then I also realized I've seen like Fast and Furious once, the original. I don't know why I care about Dom being here, but boy, it got me excited. And that maybe that's like the seeds of what happened during Furious 5, where I went, oh, you should like charismatic people I want to care about.
Right.
If they were in this movie, I would care about the movie.
Yeah, like I still, having watched both these movies, I still have no opinion about Paul Walker, but I would much rather watch Paul Walker.
Yeah, okay. Tokyo Drift done.
Getting this end bit. My favorite thing is when, so the movie ends much as it begins, his journey into the car thing with him at this like whatever underground auto show thing he's at. And someone wants to race him. He's like, I'm not into that. It's like, he says he knows Han. Everyone there knows Han. That's how he met Han.
Yeah. No, that's not true. He said, Han was family.
He follows that up with Han.
Yeah, but at first he's like, convinced them.
When he first like, he says he knows Han, he's like, oh, he does?
Well, I mean, it's not like Dom's known to be the world's smartest guy either.
No, but so, it's more just that guy's such a fucking
And also, Dom shows up with this big ass car where it's like, how the fuck are you going to fit in the drifting space?
I don't know. It was just great. And what I love is that like they're about to race and then you don't have to sit through it. I was like, hooray.
Yeah. Oh, you know, we're going to skip ahead in, or do you have any other Tokyo?
No, I'm. It's bad.
Well out of order for Fast Five, the greatest film ever made. On that note of not watching the race, I love that he goes, we need to get some cars, go out, find cars they like, threaten that guy in the parking lot, let's race for pink slips. Don't even show a second of the race. They just roll back in the garage with it. And I find, and again, not knowing the previous films, but I think obviously I get it. They're so good at racing. But what a fucking balls move.
I made a note. I said, like, you didn't make me watch this. Thank you, movie.
What a terrific move. All right. So on the Fast Five tip, let's just get this out of the way now. In the Alex tradition of me hating teeth, we already got that covered. Mm-hmm. John, who do you think I have a massive crush on in this?
Vin Diesel.
Nope.
Gal Gadot.
I'll give you one more guess.
Tyrese.
I am so, I'm crushing on Han. Like it's nobody. Oh. That's why I was trying to, because it's like, you know what? I'm going to wait for Fast Five to give this big reveal. Because I was kind of hating you for saying anything about my boy Han. That guy is so fucking pleasant on my eyeballs.
I became much more enamored with him in Fast Five.
Because, I mean, the first time I thought it was just like, oh, well, this is just like, you know, like any port in a storm where it's like, oh, this guy just seems to be capable at acting. And mm-hmm. so, like, I like watching him. But then when it comes to Fast Five, he's delightful. He's doing good character work. He's thin and delightful. Like, oh, he is delicious. Like, I went through him like, oh, I hope there's other movies I can watch a bit. Apparently, but all of his other movies are like, there's a quote from him saying, I didn't want to spend the rest of my life playing Yakuza number one until Tokyo Drift came through. So I'm like, fuck, he hasn't even been in any movies that aren't fucking, you know, Fast and the Furious, basically. So I'm like, I can't even go back and be a fan of his.
It's a hard world out there for Han fans.
It's hard. That's what I've been saying.
I was very unsure about Fast Five when it first started because it starts with, or very early on, there's the news coverage about what has happened in the past, who these characters are. Because they rescue Dom from jail. He's going by trying to murder him.
So I didn't want to rewind because did he put on a seatbelt at all? Because I don't remember him strapping in.
I don't think they have seatbelts on those things.
Okay. So they save him by flipping the basically school bus he's in 100 times.
Yeah. Now, so that was like, okay, this movie rules.
Yeah.
So I was up. But then I started to just like, fuck. Because this is just personal. But it starts showing you news reports of this thing. And again, with the fucking glitch stuff. Drives me crazy.
Oh yeah,
what are you watching that on? What is happening with this? Like, that's not even how like channels change anymore.
Well, they are in like Brazil, so maybe. Yeah,
but who's watching it? It's you, the viewer, are watching it. They're just doing it to try to make it somewhat interesting because you can't just sit there for five seconds.
John, it's Paul Walker from Heaven, so you know.
Oh, sorry. Paul Walker from Heaven is watching his own movies.
He's watching his own movies. That's why it's all glitchy.
That sucks. Heaven shouldn't have glitches.
Exactly. The 14-year-old he's trying to fuck keeps changing the channel. Which, I mean, I guess really we should, but because we're going to compliment him at some point. Paul Walker is a garbage human and he's dead, but he like fucked very young people. And let's just, we live in a world where that's what we have to choose from because he's got a good jawline. So, you know, but he was delightful in this movie. Yeah. But I'm going to be very awkward praising him after what we found out about him afterwards.
Well, it's like I still think Kevin Spacey's a decent actor, but he's a piece of shit. I do like the subtitle treatment in this. I was honestly thinking about that goofy-ass Russian movie Night Watch, where they do like crazy-ass shit with the subtitles.
But oh, yeah, yeah.
Every subtitle, because they're in Brazil, people are speaking Spanish, every subtitle...
Portuguese.
Oh, yeah, sorry, Portuguese. Every subtitle just whips off the screen or gets wiped away by someone in the foreground or something like that. And I had a theory going for a little bit that any text involving the family would quickly leave the screen, would like do the zip.
Yeah.
It did end up being true. And I'm like, that would have been cool if like anything about the family was like, pew! Like, or you can't even keep their subtitles still.
Some is fast, and then others will fight each other on the way out. That they're the furious ones, or turn green into a Hulk monster.
That is also my favorite line in this entire thing. Probably is when you're introduced to The Rock, and he's talking about going to get these guys, going to get the family, and he's like, "And whatever you do, never let them get into cars."
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like
the Rock has some fucking classic. John, tell me something else about this movie while I look up quotes from it, because The Rock has some fucking classic like 1987 like dude bro quotes.
Yeah. Well, again, talking about going back to complaining about just my sort of non-interest in racing. As soon as like the first thing in the movie is a heist, and the heist was great. They have that weird car pickup truck thing that they dragged the cars onto. That was pretty inventive and interesting, and so I was really on board for that, including just the idiotic drive off a cliff into the water scene, which they do very casually.
Yeah, no,
which I loved very much.
I feel like if you draw a line where you can, they've now committed to the idiocy of it.
Yes.
That's the line where they said, how do we write our way around this? No, they just jump out of the car. It's just fly.
Which I don't know why this specific thing makes me think of this, but this was something I noticed in Fast Five, and I bet I'm not the person with the ubiquity of these movies. I'm sure I'm not the first person to notice this. Next time you see this movie, look at Vin Diesel's mouth when he tries to be a tough guy with The Rock. He's constantly like, he can't like smile or stay tough guy too long. His mouth is always like wavering.
No, he does that everywhere. Anytime he tries to emote, the right side of his mouth smiles, the left side does a frown. He does like this. I think what he's trying to convey, and Vin Diesel, not a deep actor, is that's him being pleased, but he's too tough to show being pleased. Because the same thing happens when you find out that he's about to be an uncle with Paul Walker, and he does that same kind of half thing.
Yeah, I don't know what your reaction is supposed to be here.
Yeah.
My favorite little tidbit. I paused the movie. I had to go to the bathroom or something, and I paused the movie, and since it was on Amazon, the X-ray thing was going. And it was like, one of the trivia was like, Paul Walker really likes Jacques Cousteau. It's like, great. That helps me enjoy this movie so much more now. Thank you, IMDb.
Well, so part of the quote I liked, it's part of what you're saying. So if I may do my Hobbs impression.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, how does The Rock sound?
Who put their dick in my ass?
Right now, that sounds like The Rock. It's like, can you smell what the Hobbs are? All right, listen up. The guys we're after are professional runners. They like speed and are guaranteed to go down the hardest way. So make sure you got your thunderwear on. We find them, we take them as a team, and we bring them back. And above all else, don't ever, ever let them get into cars.
Yeah.
Put your thunderwear on.
I wasn't sure if that's what he said.
Immediately made me go, I fucking love this bit. I'm sorry you had to take your earphones off, but I had to get into my full Dwayne The Rock, can you smell what this movie is cooking?
What I also love about that scene is like, I want this interpreter. Why? Because she's pretty. Like, they don't even dance around it. It's great.
No, it's pretty. Since she's got a really nice smile.
Yeah, but I mean,
No, but that's so much creepier. But then, yeah. But it turns out, no, this isn't creepy. No, his real reason was your partner was murdered horribly by the cartel.
Right, so I know I can trust you. So,
yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Because no one ever does anything out of fear for their life. what do we talk about? I still want to just talk about the fucking safe thing.
Yeah, but I mean, it's great. It's a heist movie. It's a dumber Ocean's 11, but dumber is not a word, but like it's a more ba wa da ba ba Ocean's 11, I guess I'll say that.
Yeah, like they banged bang witty with the up comes the bookie, while Ocean's 11 was more like
booty boo booty.
Yeah, because it's Vegas.
Right.
Yeah.
It was more bah weep grah nah weep ninny bah.
Yes. Hi.
But even, you know, going back to what you were saying before about not really knowing who these characters are, but still being excited to see them. The team up scene where I was like, well, we got to form this team of.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because because they get screwed over in that opening chase, trying to get the cars, that opening heist. And so they want to get back at the guy who did that to them.
Yeah, well, they find out. So they're trying to steal the cars from the train, which is a beautiful scene.
Yeah.
They find out that in that one of those cars, there's a chip that has the secret locations to all of the money houses mm-hmm. of this Pablo Escobar-esque guy that runs the country, basically.
Yes.
And has all this money hidden. Pablo Escobar is probably not the best example, but I couldn't think of a better one. Who's the guy that keeps tunneling out of Mexico?
El Chapo.
El Chapo. That's what I was thinking of. Like an El Chapo-esque kind of guy. He runs all the cops or whatever. They said, well, you fucked us over. Let's do this. That's when they say, we need a team. And they start putting together all of the people. So we're featuring Tyrese Gibbs, son, apparently. Ludacris. Who else do I know? Gal Gadot. There's some good people in here. Other people I don't know.
The two Portuguese goofballs?
Yeah, I was just trying to name the people I knew their name of, and I thought I'd know more, but I don't. But yeah, lovely ragtag group. Like, they've got the Safecracker. They've got the Smooth Talker.
But I mean, like again, like the Ocean's 11 thing, like those two guys, the Portuguese goofballs, are just Casey Affleck and Scott Kahn. So again, like, this is more heist stuff, so I'm very much on board. Very excited about it.
Yeah, I think we both like a heist movie.
Oh,
we should watch more heist movies.
They're fun. That's like the one day.
We should watch a movie. We should watch Heist.
No, that is fun.
I heard it was terrible.
It's like how much you like David Mamet or can tolerate David Mamet shit. Now, I don't know if this was Tyrese. I think it was Tyrese when they're talking about the amount of money they're going to get. And Tyrese goes, sounds like a lot of vaginal activity to me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That is a great line.
So they rob the train before they do the whole, they get their gang together. Scouting things out, they get found out by Hobbs. And there's a lovely non-car chase sequence through the favelas.
Yes.
And this is, again, where, I don't know if it's this part, but this is at least the start of it, where they're now crank level or maybe even crank 2 level indestructible.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, I don't know when the Vin Diesel Rock fight happens. I think it's a little bit later.
That's way later,
but they're, like, just shouldering through fucking walls.
Yeah, the rock bursts through the wall. Ooh.
So Paul Walker and his pregnant girlfriend jump off a roof through a tin roof, rusted, land, roll completely fucking unharmed and are gone instantaneously like Whisper spoke. Like, it is, no one can get shot. People are getting elbows through the face. Vin Diesel saves that one police officer lady's life.
Yes.
Inexplicably loses his cross, which, by the way, that stayed with him as he chased down a train in some kind of ATV vehicle in another car, fell, I don't know, roughly 1.3 miles into a river, completely there. He got jostled slightly by...
Well, if you had seen 4, they do this a little bit in 1, but if you've seen 4...
I did, with Heimdall.
No. Oof. You'll see that every time he does a thing.
Oh, babysitting.
Okay, I'm going to make this. We got the joke. I'm going to do my thing now.
Do you? Because I can keep going. like when the guy dropped.
All right, I'm bailing on this. No, moving on. No, I'm done with it.
No.
Moving on.
I want to know.
No, we'll never know.
Okay.
One thing before they get recognized, I just want to shout this out real quick. Tego Leo, he's the Portuguese guy. I think he's Portuguese, with the kind of more like dreadlock kind of hair.
Of the demolition crew?
The goofballs. He has that awesome wrestling belt shirt. That looks like he has a wrestling belt over his shoulder.
Oh, yeah.
I want that shirt so bad. That's so awesome. Well, their whole initial plan was to get one of the drug houses and then set all the money on fire there. Because once they've done that, then Reyes will know that they're on to him, and he will collect all his money somewhere and they only have to rob one place.
Yeah.
What they don't realize is that he has collected all his money into the prison. So they got to break into a prison. Again, a great line from Tyrese. This went from Mission Impossible to Mission Frickin' Insanity.
Oh, that's so good. That's like, good. You know, where sometimes people go, oh, yeah, that's like a Twinkie from hell.
Yeah.
You know, or like when someone says, it's like a school day on crack.
Yeah.
Oh, that's Tyrese.
It was great. It was great.
So let's just break down their plan because I'm not going to pedant this movie at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I would be remiss in my duties on the show to not do it right here. They got a crew together.
Yes.
So they can do things quicker, hit all the houses, whatever. And their idea is that they can't hit all the houses because, like, they would know and warn the other houses.
Well, there's that, and then, like, Hobbs is onto them now, so they've really got to just, like, do one thing and get out.
But getting a crew together,
mm-hmm.
you could rob them all simultaneously instead of them consolidating their forces in the same way you're consolidating their forces. So, like, I not to be an expert in guerrilla warfare, but... Mm-hmm. You generally don't want to go, hey, we've got 8 guys. What our plan is, we're going to go against the 800 guys in one place because that's the way we're not going to die. Instead of having the 800 guys spread apart and have a
chance. Well, that's the thing. It's so crazy. It just might work. It clearly did.
No, they didn't do that plan. What I'm saying is the obvious plan they didn't go with where they get more people and they all hit the houses. They simultaneously using car tricks, because again, you could do some badass car timing here.
You're assuming that the family's a lot bigger than it is.
Yeah, of course they do. They breed.
Yes, well, not this family.
Huh. Well, Paul Walker and Ladyface did.
That's it. That's the one. You know, you're not seeing the two Portuguese guys.
And that guy shot in the gut, who I have no idea who he is, his little kid, his
Oh, yeah,
kid.
You got to see his kid.
Yeah, so yeah. His kid can drive pretty soon. So he's got a house.
But that's like
Tyrese has got a house.
That's down the line. He can't drive.
I think they got it. I'll 11.
But yeah, but like, you know, that's how Dom rolls. It's not what you expect.
Yeah, it was like a D20.
Yeah, exactly. Because he's a big Dungeons & Dragons fan.
Sure. Oh, wait, before we go on, because I'm obsessed with the male body. Vin Diesel's fighting The Rock. I thought Vin Diesel was tiny.
Mm.
Is this camera trickery or is Vin Diesel a lot taller than I thought? Not tiny, like, obviously he's built as fuck. But I mean, like, is he not short?
I have no idea.
I'm going to have to look it up.
Vin Diesel's height.
I always pictured him as, like one of those 5'8 guys that they use, like, camera tricks. But, like, The Rock is legit, like, you know, I don't know, 6'4 or something. Yeah. And
I mean, he's not as big, but yeah, he's certainly big enough. But I mean, like, I'm sure there's some body double stuff going on. Like, I don't know. I didn't think about that at all.
Well, I think you should. I'm woke, and I judge men as much as women for their physical appearance.
Oh, that's nice.
See, I'm shallow the whole way through.
Right.
Vin Diesel's 6 foot. Okay, I didn't know that.
I was more excited, less about the human body than the scene where The Rock is looking at a blurry image and he asks the guy to enhance it, and then he does. I always love that movie because that's not a real thing.
Oh, no, that gets so much better, though.
Yeah.
They've got masks on.
Yes.
Let's run it through the FF whatever search.
Some bullshit thing.
They have a search
exactly
for people in masks, and somehow that was fucking.
Yes.
That enhancing is like. Oh, also on the dumb shit meter, they took this car apart for a reason. Put it back together to find out what's missing.
Yep.
Nothing's missing, and then he charges it. Like it's just like I'm turning it. It is.
I would hate to work for The Rock. Is basically.
It is like if Sherlock Holmes said, "Aha." And then there's a Chiron that says 36 hours later, and he shows you where the tobacco ashings were.
Yeah. Like, well, I felt bad for those guys, and so did they.
Oh, like, yeah. Oh, I was
just like, man, fuck this guy.
I mean, I can't stress enough. My only problem is their original plan was better than the one they executed. I love this movie other than that.
I don't think their original plan was tenable. You would need so many more people.
But their opponents are spread out and not expecting it. So if they time it, and again,
but if you're,
so
if
many
you're
cool
trying
car
to get
chases.
If you're trying to get anyone, like if you're trying to do it at once,
yeah,
there's like 20 places.
Well, there's 11, I think.
Whatever. That's still a lot more than two.
Well, they could get all those car people that pulled guns on the police for them earlier. There was a whole parking lot full of them.
Yeah, that's different. That whole scene was great because first of all, you have so
you're not in America, and I just love this where Vin Diesel does a hard. You're in Brazil,
yes,
where it's like. Dude, you're from like Long Island.
Yeah, no, that's totally like the newscaster, like enchilada.
Yeah, yeah.
But what I love about that is that, yeah, so The Rock confronts Vin Diesel at a race. Because earlier, as you mentioned earlier, there's a part where they're like, we need to go get this car. And they go to an underground street race thing. And you don't have to watch the fucking race. But I was kind of surprised. Like, yeah, why don't they just have people? Why didn't The Rock just put people at underground street racing things? You know that's what these people are about. But sure enough, later The Rock shows up to one. And confronts, and that's when Vin Diesel does that great line read. And everyone pulls guns on them. And rather than, like, wait, there's too much heat here. We got to get out of here. And rather than, like, wait until Vin Diesel leaves and arrest him then, no, they just leave.
Yeah.
that was so good. Oh. But, like, for the, again, there's something about this movie that you're like, yep, that should happen. Like,
yeah.
The universe this creates.
Because this this is all the best stuff of, like, a high-level Nicolas Cage performance, mm-hmm. where you've accepted the level that we're operating at and the level of ridiculousness.
Yeah.
And they do it. And that's all we want from this. It's when promises aren't kept.
Right.
And this movie keeps its promises. It says, oh no, we are bulletproof. We should probably do Crank at some point. This reminds me of Crank, where it's just like, it's at one point you go, oh no, I need to do amphetamines. Nope, gotta fuck my lady in front of a crowd. Nope.
Right.
And the second one where he starts electrocuting himself and turns into Godzilla, where they just go, fuck it, we're just gonna do whatever the fuck we want. I don't know if you've ever seen those movies.
No, never seen any of them.
You should, I don't know if we should do it for the show, but you should watch it. They're really fun if you're in the mood for something mm-hmm. like that.
I will say this though, this movie did not keep its promises.
What's that?
Because they realize in scoping out the prison that they hack in. And they're able to, after blowing shit everywhere, they hack in and realize that the cameras have this certain kind of camera and they have the certain range. And so we need to try to beat that. And then they keep trying to Tokyo drift their way out of it. Doesn't work. So Vin Diesel goes, we need to get invisible cars.
Yeah.
They don't get invisible cars. They get cop cars. I was very excited for invisible cars.
Two things. One, you're correct. I was hoping that somehow they did get, like, remember that show Viper that was on for about 6 months back in the 90s?
Yes.
Yeah. So I was hoping they get a, again, you have to be 38 to like this show. So they either would get a Viper, not a Viper, but the show from the show Viper. This is when they texted you saying, Han is an expert drifter in the movie in Tokyo Drift. So at some point he has to learn how to drift.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to see that in Fast 7? Or 8 or 9?
Well, I mean, he's starting to learn it now, you know. But he's just like,
we don't see him try to drift in this, do we?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, because he tries to do that whole move. Then that's when Gal Gadot is like, let me show you how a real person does
it. I think I skipped the part where he was doing, because I think that's when I was texting you going, why is he not, like, he should be.
Oh, yeah. There's a, that's like no, an Aesop's fable.
No, but I was watching the Gal Gadot part because I'm like, well, also, not necessarily like this movie is great with women. But at least there is, like, a bit of a hero moment of, like, she's kind of the best driver of this group of dudes. Yeah,
they're not just, like, scantily clad arm candy. Like, they actually do things.
Yeah, and that's pretty, like, considering, like, the point of the Fast and Furious movies, as far as you can tell, is that Dom is flawless in all ways and cannot lose in anything. He beats up The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Walker couldn't beat him in a race because he took his foot off the throttle.
Yeah, he still lost.
No, but still, like, but no, he took his foot off because he's such a good guy.
Right. Yeah, whatever. No, I get
But I'm just saying,
yeah.
like, that bullshit. But, like, the best drifter in it is this tiny Israeli lady. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, I mean, I'm not saying, like, this is some, like, knock on the wall stuff, but that's actually, like, subtly cool. Like, in a movie that's this, like, based around fucking dick size.
Right.
Like,
But so I will say, you know, on the subject of these invisible cars and cop cars, so that's the one stupid race they make you watch. But it is at least like, hey, here's all your favorites from these movies. They're going to race together. We got them all together. It's like the fight scene in the first Avengers where you're like, oh, now I can see Iron Man fight the Hulk.
And it is fun and upbeat. It's like a romp kind of, it's almost like a college style thing. And there is a part where, and again, Paul Walker, really likable. One of the people spins out and hits a wall, and they cut to Paul Walker just kind of laughing at him.
Uh-huh.
And I really like, oh man, I like this. Like, I feel like I'm hanging out with my friends, just ribbing people.
Thing.
And it's just like, what's happening to me? Yeah. Why is this movie working on me?
Yeah, because like the whole time I'm like, I would watch a theater full of these kind of movies, summer movies versus Marvel movies, 100%. Because these don't take themselves too seriously. They're fun. This isn't perfect. Like, it lags in the middle big time.
Yeah.
But, man, this is so much more fun than so many of those.
So many of them, I agree with you. I think that when Marvel movies remember that they're supposed to be enjoyable to watch, I think they're lovely. But yeah, a lot of them are quite dour. And Vin Diesel in the Marvel movie. So, you know, and weirdly enough, in the few good ones.
Yeah. So here's a question about Vin Diesel fighting The Rock.
Yes,
going
he is
back
Groot.
To that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have guns. The Rock, why are you fighting Vin Diesel?
Okay, I have a theory about this. Thank you for bringing that up, because I thought of this earlier. So I think The Rock's whole thing, and again, I talked about earlier that The Fast and Furious was meant to be a meta-narrative about toxic masculinity. It's earlier in the film when he had guns on Toretto. Toretto was like, I'll beat the shit out of you kind of thing. I mean, I'm very much paraphrasing.
Mm-hmm.
But The Rock was basically like, I don't know if he says it, but like there is an agreement of like, if I could make them put their guns down, you and I would duke this out mano a mano. And I think that's what that fight scene later was. Like, obviously, I think this was a, really, you think you'd take me? I'm the fucking,
They're still awesome to watch. Like, yeah.
But I think that was the idea, is that it was his kind of, that masculine nature of, I cannot lose at something, mm-hmm. and this has got to be hand to hand.
Yeah.
Because at that point, he's become realized as a person, because The Rock makes a point. Ugh, I can't believe I'm saying this deep. But The Rock makes a point earlier in the movie that it's just a name on a piece of paper that comes to my office. I bag him, I tag him, I move on to the next name, that, you know, blah, 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 get in the chopper. Like, it's just, you know, speech, I'm using stuff I learned in the military.
Mm-hmm.
But now he's interacted with Dom. He's read about him. And Dom apparently is this charismatic, like, you know, he basically is the savior. I mean, he's Xander Cage. He's XXX.
Yeah.
I think at that point, he's now a person. And then the Rock sees him as a person. He needs to beat him, because that's the only way he knows how to interact with other men. Because, you know, and I'm not trying to, like, stress this too much, but I do think this is, before it got stupid, this was supposed to be a meta narrative on shitty men, and then it just became a shitty men movie.
Yeah, but I still think there's something like knowing about it. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't feel like it's a Michael Bay thing.
No, it keeps the heart's still there. Like, it keeps that, and I think that's why they're enjoyable. But I think it lost the plot a little bit on the nose stuff.
Mm. I mean, I'm curious to watch more of them to see if that theory holds up. I would not be surprised if it does, but it's just an excuse for me to watch more of them. After the Rock Vin Diesel fight scene, the thing that really solidified my love for this movie, granted, this is well into the movie and I'm already having a great time, but what solidified my love for the movie is they are then, once they're arrested and they're being taken away by the caravan of the Rock's people, I forget what their government agency thing is, they're attacked by the cartel. And it's almost like this, what's that Harrison Ford movie? Clear and Present Danger.
Firewall.
Like, yeah, it's for Firewall. Yeah. No, it's the one where, like, there's the attack on the SUVs. It was kind of a famous scene at the time. Like, The Rock is watching his team kind of get destroyed. And my favorite is the guy he made take the car apart earlier is dying. And he's like getting out of the car that's been like flipped over, and he's getting out and a grenade drops down. And you're like, oh no. And then another grenade drops down. Like, the fact that there are two grenades is so good.
So I was, Fast Five, I was going to make notes on, because I'd already noted the shit out of Tokyo Drift. And I made a few, and I was going to do plot points, and then I just kind of stopped, and I realized I hadn't made one for 45 minutes. So I was like, fuck it. I don't have any notes for this one. But when that second grenade fell, I went, I need to remember this. And I didn't make the note. I'm so glad you brought it up, because that was hilarious.
It made me so happy. Yeah. Like, here comes the other grenade.
Because in this movie, that's how much it takes for someone to die. Because you can just throw off a bridge a million feet from a train, you're fine. Getting shot, you're fine. Like, just
need the double kill. And then after that, the family saves Hobbs from the cartel. And he ends up kind of joining up with them. It's like, well, this Reyes guy killed my men. I'm going to help you guys take him down.
Which I actually like as a character beat. Because he is such a, like, he's kind of, the way he's established, he's not like a law and order guy. He's like a kick-ass guy. This is sounding so stupid, but like, there's a subtle differentiation. And like, this actually works within character that he would go, fuck the law. He killed my friend.
Yeah, there was a little bit, I was admittedly wondering up to that point, like, because I know Rock becomes part of the family. Like, how does this even happen? How does he go from this to that?
Which that was the thing that I was living earlier, because when he talks about Paul Walker, like, you know, you took a pledge to be a cop and you turned your back on it, this whole big like moral thing, and then Vin Diesel, you hit a guy with a wrench. Yeah. Like that really does not seem like the same thing.
Yeah.
But then they do their big heist, which was so much more fun than I was anticipating.
The Rock drives a big SUV through a fucking concrete wall.
Yes.
To get to a safe.
Like, with he just does it.
It's so good. And then, and this is, I can't even articulate the joy I have. And I wish I knew car words, but they're driving just like Shelby GT. Like, they're driving like muscle cars.
Yeah, they're fancy-ass cars.
No, fancy ass doesn't describe it. They're muscle. They're not cars made for, I think the word would be torque. Like they're not truck style fancy cars. They're not like an Escalade.
Mm-hmm.
You could see an Escalade having the torque to move a big, like to rip a safe from the wall. No, they're driving two muscle cars, rear wheel drive muscle cars with some fucking rebar soldered to the back.
Yep.
With a single, two ropes of just corded iron, you know, those like normal construction, I don't know what they're called, but those things tied to a safe, and they just gun it.
Yeah.
And that makes
that's the solution.
Because the physics of that are it's four tires in contact with concrete.
All right, easy, Mr. Wizard. This doesn't matter that much.
It does. Because they chose to do it this way. Think about the physics of that. Well, it's amazing.
It's more just the like, okay, now then we need both drivers to drive like in sync.
Oh, they're family. They know what's up. Yeah. They're driving perfectly in sync. And then when they start fighting other cars with a save.
Yes.
It's
so good.
I was laughing out loud, not into like I'm saying this hyperbolically. I was laughing out loud during some of the kill shots where they're driving with a safe.
Yeah, I mean it's just so much fun, and yeah, it is just that it's big and dumb, great dumb guy shit. It made me very happy, and again, it made me kind of think about how all the deaths that have happened in these movies.
Oh, it is a murder factory.
So many people have died. You know how many
people got cut in half by those cords going errant?
Yeah, and then when they destroyed the bank, like, no one got away unscathed. Like, you don't see it. Everyone seems to be fine, but you just destroyed the structure.
The Chitauri in New York in the Avengers killed less people than Dom and fucking whatever the hell Paul Walker's character name is.
Paul?
No, that's his name.
Yeah, I think it's, I don't know.
So, one of my favorite parts of this is how good does Han look in a police officer's outfit?
You like him in his uniform.
With his cute little hat. Oh, yeah. And he's driving up. He's like, hey, I got you, buddy.
Well, I was I was starting to wonder about that, because I'm like, well, all right, you made us sit through the whole police thing. You know, I wonder if that's going to pay off. And yeah, sure enough, it does. And in a very fun way.
Oh, so I think this is a really brilliant way to do something. So we think the payoff is, oh no, we're the distraction. Two cars come up. I just beat the shit out of other police cars for you. Now you got a 10-second head start or whatever the fuck it is. You're like, oh, cool, done. That's the answer.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, we can go out of order here. But it turns out, no, they swap the saves.
Yes.
Which, I've never felt dumber as a person, because they introduced, it's Chekhov's safe.
Yeah,
they introduced the other safe earlier, and I never at any point thought, oh, obviously this is a fake safe.
Yeah, I swear, like, oh no, that's there for Ludacris to try to break into.
It is. Oh,
they got me.
Beautiful. And then fucking Dom be like, hey man, family, you got to take care of my sister. He beats up all of the bad guys dragging a safe because he's so good at driving. Yes. It is fucking amazing.
It's so good. Yeah.
But then Paul Walker doesn't go away for some reason. He shoots the other bad guy because I don't know where the term symphony of violence comes from, but that's exactly what it is gorgeously orchestrated.
It is exactly as dumb as it should be, and it has the confidence to just do it, and it's great.
When he turns on the nitro things, and his car starts doing a wheelie or whatever the fuck you call it in a car. And then he turns on more nitro things. And the safe starts moving. And he's just, I forgot. I missed a really important part in Tokyo Drift. Now, I don't know a lot about cars, but they had more gears than cars have. Because every time in the dramatic parts of the race, they just keep upshifting.
Yeah.
Like, they went to fifth about six times. Like, that's an 11-gear car the way they did the cuts.
That is one thing that was irritating me, and honestly, in both movies. But I just accepted that this is the stylistic choice they made. It's just one I don't like. Where it's like, just let me see some of this shit that's happening. And I think with the safe thing, they did a lot better. We talked about the same thing in Gone in 60 Seconds, where it's... just the it's all just like cut. That's how we're bringing excitement into this scene. Where it's like, let me watch this stuff at hazard. Let me watch the cars doing things. I mean, that's an effective way to do it, obviously, but it's just for my personal taste, I don't like it as much. And I think in the safe, when it came down to the safe heist, I thought they did that a lot better. You were watching the safe fling around and
no, I had trouble figuring out like how much of that is practical. Like that was a really beautiful, like that was a nice bit of like. It's one of the scenes, and I mean this as a compliment, it seems like that could have been shot in the 70s.
Mm-hmm. Or
like in the 70s, they'd go, how are we going to do this? Well, obviously, we'll just strap a safe to a car and just destroy a town. And they're like, well, fuck it, it's the 70s. We don't care. Let's put cigarettes in it.
In reading about like why the hell people could possibly like Tokyo Drift, I stumbled upon a thing that people were talking about how like the Shibuya chases is unimpeachable. Which I think is the chase where Han dies, which is cool, which is a neat chase, but then like...
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah.
But then like, you watch this and you're like, no, that's bullshit. Yeah. Like, this rules.
Yeah, at the end of Tokyo Drift, the problem... So the end of Fast Five is infinitely better, but the end of Tokyo Drift, if that was the... Because that was stylistically interesting. It looked cool.
Mm-hmm.
There was... I don't want to say there were stakes, but like, I cared a little bit. Like, if the whole movie had... been more like that with a charismatic lead.
Mm-hmm.
Like that movie is a whisper away from being not as fun as Fast Five, but like a Fast 4.2. Like that movie could have been fun, but like they just missed a little bit. And Fast, I feel like I don't know if you could do it better. There's nothing to improve upon.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I think it lags a little bit in the middle, like a lot of high school. They're just kind of doing the legwork. And there's a lot of little subplots that kind of don't really matter.
Yeah.
The subplot between Vin Diesel and the lady, who gives a shit? But
I assume that's set up for the next movie.
Great. Yeah, probably. I don't care.
I'm not saying I care, but like there's a thing that we have to sign on to when we're watching something like this. Much mm-hmm. like, and I think this is something you struggle with, like you have an issue, but like, I think one of your problems with the Marvel movies are like this, is that some of it is just, well, you just have to, it's clunky world building that we just have to go, well, it's clunky world, but
I don't like that.
We just have to sign the agreement that this is exactly that's. And maybe I'm completely wrong, but that lady seemed to be placed there specifically for, well, she is going to be in part whatever.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, particularly at the end when she shows up and she's Dom's girlfriend, and it's not really like a huge, she's just Dom's girlfriend now. Like there's not even a big thing about it. She's like, and this lady, she's just there. Fine. I'm just saying that it's clunky. I'm going to say it's clunky.
Yeah.
I could have done without it.
No, but my only argument to that is I think that needs to be there. For the scope of idiocy that they are building, can't not have the clunk. The clunk is like the mechanically separated chicken of the Slim Jim. Like, it's not the part you're there for, but it needs to be there.
Yeah, I think you could have had so much of that, just gotten rid of that. It would have been fine. I think you would have much had a much more tighter, more exciting movie.
Yeah, but then the next one doesn't. I mean, we're building a world.
I'm not interested in the next one. I'm interested in the one that I'm watching now.
Really? Oh, I'm interested in the next one.
No, I'm going to watch it, but I'm saying that when I'm watching this movie, I'm not about like, well, I wonder how they're going to do the next one. I want to enjoy the movie I'm watching.
John, I'm just saying don't mess with my precious Fast Five or whatever this movie was called.
The thing that I love that I don't know what it is.
If you dare talk anything bad about Han, I'm going to blow
Han's fine. I didn't care about him and Gal Gadot's thing, but that wasn't, it was done very efficiently.
I cared about it only because it's really pretty people that I find charismatic interacting with each other. And but this is like a really key point because I sound shallow as fuck. If it went on for 4 seconds longer, all of my warm feelings would be wiped out.
I agree.
Like, it was the exact life that made me go, hey, look, pretty people, like especially the Autobahn sequence.
Yeah.
So stupid, but it's like, she's lying in his lap. He's going 100 and whatever fucking miles an hour, kilometers per hour down the Autobahn. This is delightful. If it went on for 3 seconds longer, I'd be like, oh, this movie is dumb as shit. Like, it perfectly based.
Yeah. Yeah, and that, I just think the Vin Diesel Brazilian lady went on a little bit too long.
Yeah, I mean,
she's married to a Hemsworth, by the way.
Yeah, who isn't? There's like 80
that's
of them.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Because
she's family.
We missed the two Brazilian guys. One bets on black,
yes.
One bets on red,
uh-huh.
And it comes up green, and I've never been happier in my life. Well, it's such a...
It comes up nothing. It cuts before you see what it is.
Oh, no, but I mean,
it
it's jumping towards green, and uh-huh. Either way, what a dumb shit thing.
I know,
the
it's
The fact
great.
They filmed that is so fucking yeah. stupid. It's great.
Yeah, I love yeah. those guys.
Oh, and I thought the two guys, and I don't know anybody's name at this point, other than the three mains, but the two guys that were kind of like rivals but kind of love each other.
Oh, Tyrese and Ludacris?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where he's running his garage, which yeah. I actually thought was, I mean, I hate to use the word, but I thought it was kind of sweet. Like,
well, it's like, yeah,
I like working on cars. Yeah. Why are you making fun of me? Like, yeah. Yes, I'm a rich man that has cars. So he comes up with his Bugatti flip. I don't know if mm-hmm. it's Bugatti, but that's the only fancy car name I know.
Yeah.
And he's like, there's only one in the Western Hemisphere. And then he's like, oh yeah, let's go. Let me get my car. And he does like just another equally hot supermodel roll up.
Two.
With the exact same car. Oh, is there two?
Yeah, there's two in there. Because why wouldn't there be?
What a... This movie fucking rules.
Yeah, it's just dumb enough. It's so great.
So stupid.
Yeah.
There's two. But then, and again, this weird meta-narrative, toxic masculinity, the two guys that are the My Dick's Bigger contest, they go, yeah, we can both have good cars. They come to, they literally, at the end, they come to
it's
yeah,
okay.
It's cool that we both have good cars. Like, what the fuck? What the fuck is happening to this movie that's it? Like, it's
yeah.
like, it's so beautiful.
It's great.
I think I like the Fast and the Furious.
I certainly like Fast Five. That's the only one that I've liked so far.
Like, I'm honestly looking forward to watching the later ones.
Yeah, I'll go see the later ones. Yeah, I fully disagree with you. Like, well, you need to watch them all. You don't.
No,
just start with Fast Five.
Yeah, because I watched the first one, and it's, if you like cars, the first one's probably cool, but like, it's, yeah. Ugh, I didn't see the second one. Tokyo Drift is, oh boy, skip the shit out of that.
Yeah. Like, I'm very happy that you all feel the need to justify wasting your time, but you don't need to watch the first three, four movies at all. The fourth one in particular is very bad.
Yeah,
but, the third one is, as we've mentioned, is dog shit. So.
Yeah, but this
start
is...
Start with Fast Five.
Wonderful. And I saw a scene of a later one where I think they're dragging a safe behind a plane.
Sure.
And then cars are chasing the safe, and then The Rock is fighting a guy on the plane and hitting him with a giant, like, 4-foot wrench.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the 4-foot wrench I may be confusing with, like, a scene from Ip Man. But the point is... they just keep escalating
yeah.
stakes.
Well, they talked about going to space, and I'm like, absolutely. I
yeah.
see why you would go to
yeah,
space.
Yeah, yeah. So I think these might be my favorite movies ever.
Yeah.
And which is crazy because it started off with, this movie sucks so bad, I don't want to do a whole episode
yeah.
on it. And now I'm so jazzed.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's something that anyone that told me watch Tokyo Drift is actually the good one. Why?
I'm
fascinated. Like, I can't figure it out. I can't.
The only thing I can think of, and I said this before, but I just want to reiterate, because I was joking before saying people are stupid. I don't mean they're stupid for this, but like, I know some people don't like to enter into a story midway through.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because it's a clean start to get you the vibe of the early Fast and the Furious movies.
Yeah, I'd rather just watch the first one. Like, between the two of them.
Yeah, but I guess Tokyo Drift is done more stylistically than the first. Because I remember the first one being
fair enough.
Because
the first one has a lot more, like, all the car stuff is CG kind of thing. Whereas I think, like, Tokyo Drift actually has some, like,
yeah.
more racing in it. But I just,
I think that might be a sound recommendation for someone that's there to watch cool cars.
Yeah.
And for us wanting to be there for essentially wanting to watch dumb muscle men flip stuff
yeah.
over.
If you wanna, yeah, if you want to watch cool cars, watch Vanishing Point, watch any number of old awesome
Turbo Teen,
watch yeah. Turbo Teen, yeah.
yeah,
any of the good stuff, but like if you want to
car Viper,
other car
Herbie
shows
Herbie Fully Loaded,
uh-huh,
Herbie Goes Bananas,
just Fully Loaded,
Herbie Goes to Monte Carlo,
they did a Herbie remake with Bruce Campbell in like the late 90s.
True.
Yeah,
wow.
It was a TV movie.
Matu Virata Herbie.
But yeah, when it starts to just get ridiculous fun action movie stuff with Fast Five, I'm way more on board.
Yeah, I'm looking. I mean, I'm not saying we're gonna do another one on the show, but like, I'm looking forward to watching
another
one.
Yeah, it's gonna happen.
I think maybe this needs to happen. Yeah, so watch Fast Five, and for the love of fuck, don't watch Tokyo Drift.
Do not watch Tokyo Drift.
All right, John. We're entering into the spoopiest month, October.
Mm-hmm.
And as we do every year, that being the one time we've been in October, we do horror movies or related stuff.
Yeah.
So we're going to watch the movie based in 1630 New England. Everybody's still speaking Latin. So we're going to be watching The 5-5 Itch.
Yes, the Vitch.
Yes. Look, it was a stretch.
But that's what we do here.
I was just trying to figure out a way to do it, and I thought 5-5 Itch actually was funny until I said it and went, not so much fun. But anyway, yeah, so the initial release date of March 3, 2016 in Brazil, The Witch, also known by its full name, The Witch, a New England folktale. Everybody's told me I would like this movie, or at least I would find it interesting. I know nothing about it.
Yeah, I know that I do like it, and I'm looking forward to seeing it again to see if I still like it.
Cool.
I bet I do.
Yeah, probably. The critic reviews that I can't see the full one because my my mic half circle baffle, whatever you call these things, is blocking it. But I see the words Ingmar Bergman, so it's probably reminding them of something
Ingmar
good.
Ingmar Bergman.
Yes, the guy famously who ran fast enough to win the Indy 500.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So next time we were watching the 5-5 Itch, and nope, not funny nope. time either.
But I appreciate your tenacity.
All right. So this is Halloween. This is Halloween. Everyone hail to the Pumpkin King.
Yeah.
Yes. That's the thing. Like us on Facebook. John and Alex hate stuff on Facebook. And I have a Patreon. Patreon.com/AlexBolin. There's some extra audio on there. That'd be cool if you signed up.
And then by the time this drops, the episode will come out. But I was on a guest on a podcast, Green Shirts. They were nice enough to have me on. It's a Star Trek The Next Generation podcast. So go check that out. It's episode 51 or 52, something like that. I don't know. They're lovely people. And hopefully we can get one of them on here as well. But if you like Star Trek, go check that out.
Absolutely. Engage.